Let's enjoy this ongoing message by Sam Adeyemi.
Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Lord, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, your name will be praised. So today we join with millions all over the world who seek to give you praise, to give you thanks, because you remain God. We stand on a planet that is hanging on nothing. Yet it rolls around once every 24 hours and rolls around the sun once every year. You are still the same. And we have many galaxies apart from ours. So you are the God of the universes. And today we celebrate the fact that your wisdom is limitless, your power is limitless. Whatever was called impossible becomes possible now. Thank you for making this our day of good news. We receive healing right now for everybody. Wherever the sickness or the pain may be, let the power that raised Christ from death in Jesus' name destroy the power of sicknesses and diseases. And Lord, bring restoration to muscles, organs of the body, bones, blood cells, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, thank you for the healing of the soul, for deliverance from every spirit of oppression, deliverance from fear, from doubt, from anxiety. There's victory here. There's peace in this service. Lord, someone is getting direction. The darkness is dispelled. Light comes in this service. So, Lord, we celebrate your power in Jesus' name. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Amazing, amazing day. All right, let's go to Luke chapter 11. We'll read verses 5 to 8. We've been discussing on execution, on action. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 8. If you're there, let's go. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Hallelujah. All right. We've been discussing on action, on execution. And today, I just wanted to encourage, never give up. Never give up. Because when you cultivate the habit of taking action, when you develop the courage or the boldness to take action, the one thing that will happen frequently will be the fact that things will not work out the way you want the first time. Yeah, that's the way it works. Things will not always work out the way you want the first time. But let me back up first and emphasize just a little more how important it is for you to act, for you to take action. Absolutely important. It does not matter how much revelation you get if you are not going to move into implementation. It's not going to change your life. James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Matthew 7 from verse 24, Jesus said, he who hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will show you who he is like. He's like a man who wanted to build his house, dug deep, found a rock, and built his house on it. The rains fell. The flood came. The wind blew. Everything came heavily on the house, and the house stood. Jesus went on. But he who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. Did you hear that? Does not do them. He is like a man who built his house on the sand. You know, sometimes you hear this illustration from Jesus and it's like he's trying to make a difference between those who listen to him and those who don't. No! Jesus was trying to establish the difference between two categories of people that hear him. The first, do. The second, don't do. They don't take action. So the person who hears but does not do is like a man who built his house on sand. Amazing. The difference that taking action, you know, can make in our lives. You know, one of us shared his story with me when he was starting his business. Big business now. He wanted to buy this property, needed $150 million, but then needed just $20 million to pay as the first deposit. And he said he couldn't figure out where to get $20 million from. Many people ask me, God gave me this idea, but where do I get the money from? I don't know how to get the money. I have an idea. I don't know where to get the money from. They don't know that the money is just one idea away. Anyway, this young man was in the service, and as I was teaching, he said he was under inspiration. The heavens opened. He got the idea. Call four people. Ask each of them for $5 million each. And he said, immediately after the service, he stepped outside, took his phone, called the first person. The person agreed to loan him $5 million. Called the second, called the third, called the fourth. His $20 million was complete even before stepping out of these promises. Why? He got a revelation. That's important. Secondly, he took action. Someone is listening to me right now. One phone call will change your status in the name of Jesus Christ. All right. I believe, God, that you and I are overcoming barriers to action this season of our lives. It is not enough for you to plan. You need to take action. The person who takes action eventually looks smarter than the person that has a fantastic strategy but who won't take action. I tell you that. There are loads of people who are smart, but the smartness is not showing because they're not acting. And then you have people who are not as smart as they are, but who are taking action. The miracle is in the action. The young man that we call the prodigal son in the Bible, in Luke chapter 15, you know, the guy that told his father he couldn't wait for the father to die, so he wanted his inheritance. Good. So this young man got all the money from his dad and went enjoying himself. He blew the money and then got to the point where he was now struggling financially, really, really struggling. He was in a difficult place. But let me read to you from Luke 15, verses 17 to 20. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Now, that is what you call a strategic plan. A strategy just simply confers on you competitive advantage. Where are you likely to get your best results? Go there. This young man came to a point where he just realized, compared where he was to his father's house, where he was coming from, he said, excuse me, even a servant in my father's house would fare better than I do right now. He said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Okay, I know my father must have rejected me as a son now. I took my inheritance. Okay, I will go apply for work as a servant. You've got to be realistic. Face it. Where do you have the potential to succeed? Where do you have the potential to fare better? Don't stay with an opportunity that has already fizzled out. Elijah was told by God to stay by the brook Cherith in 1 Kings 17. Agreed. It was a revelation. It was God that spoke. He went by the brook Cherith. There was the water there for him to drink. And birds actually brought the food, brought the bread for him to eat. That's amazing. That's powerful. That's revelation at work. But the brook did what? Dried up. Elijah didn't stay there. He asked the person that told him to go there because revelation is progressive. He asked God, what do I do? God said, move on to Zarephath. I have commanded a widow there to feed you. Don't fizzle out with your opportunity. Okay? If you're in one city, it's not working anymore the way it worked before, pray. If you need to move to another city, go there. Amen. You've been working or functioning in an industry. It's not working exactly the way it used to work before. Pray. You may need to move. You may need to change your line of career. Someone say amen to that. Good. So this young man says, I will arise. I will go to my father's house and apply for a job. But you know the part that I love here? It's in verse 20. And he arose. And he arose. There are so many of us that tell the story of this young man in a derogatory way. I mean, we talk like we're better than him, but sincerely speaking, until you act on your dreams, this guy will be better than you are. Agreed that he made mistakes. Agreed that the quality of his life went down. But they said that he came to himself. And then he devised a plan. And then he did what? He arose. I like it. The moment you take action, you separate yourself from the pack. And he arose and went down to his father's house. Now, see what happened? And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Woo! If you are someone who has cultivated the habit of taking action, things will always work better than you planned. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm prophesying that on someone here right now. I'm prophesying that on someone here right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, the next time you take action on the instruction that God gave you, things will work better than you planned. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Someone say good amen to that again. Amen. All right. The man in the story that Jesus told in Luke 11 went to his friend to ask for bread because he got some guests in his house late in the night. The markets were closed. There was nowhere for him to get food. So he knew where the possibility for bread was, his friend's house, back to the same point. Find out where the potential is for you to make progress or to get whatever it is you want and go there. This guy was an action person. So he left his house, went to his friend's house, knocked on the door and told him exactly what the point was. Give me bread. But you notice what happened? His friend declined. There was resistance. It did not work out the first time. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. It's not a crime if you try and it doesn't work the first time. In fact, that's the way it works. Why is it like that? I can't fully explain it. But I think I have an idea. I think it's just the way our world has been structured to separate people who are serious from those who are not. To separate those who really want it from those who are not. Because remember, heaven does not waste its resources. So it didn't work out the first time. So he kept knocking. He kept knocking. He knocked again and again and again and again and again until his friend stood up and gave him the bread. So, Jesus said that it was not friendship that made things to work for this guy in that instance. It was what? Persistence. He said, even though he would not give him the bread because he was his friend, he would give him the bread because of his persistence. Let me read it. Luke 11:8 in the Message Bible. Luke 11:8 in the Message Bible. It says, but let me tell you, even if he won't get up because he's a friend, if you stand your ground, knocking and waking all the neighbors, he'll finally get up and get you whatever you need. Listen to me. Sometimes you just think, wow, I can't believe it's Jesus saying this. Yes! Stay there. Wake up all the neighbors. The bread is in the house. The job is in the place. Do it. Oh my, oh my. I remember, you know, I said my dear wife, my dear sweetheart is my partner in experimenting and in taking action. Just that in some places, her gift of faith is much larger than mine. Yes. We applied for a visa to one European country many years ago. It would be our first visit ever to Europe. And we had applied. It was taking time for the visas, you know, to be approved. And then we got the information that out of the family of four, the visas for three of us had been approved. Her own visa had not been approved. And we had booked tickets to travel. So, on the day we would travel, we were supposed to travel, we went to the embassy. When we got to the gates of the embassy, then they told us that all of their computers were down. Now, this was a long time ago, okay? This was many years ago. All of their computers, all of their systems were down, they said, so they were not going to attend to anyone that day. So we said, wow. And there were some other people there by the gate of the embassy. So we stood there for some time, hoping that something would change. And then the agent, you know, there was an agent who was working with us, and he said, you know what, I have the privilege to have the phone number to the house of the ambassador. Take this number, okay? Call the house. They will not pick the phone. Leave a message on the voice machine that you are right in front of the embassy. He said, that's just an idea that occurred to me because I can't think of anything else to do. Leave a message there that you are right at the front of the embassy and you need to travel tonight. I said, fine. What's the harm in trying? I made the call. I left the message. And then we continued to wait. Should I confess what happened? I got irritated at a point. I got tired. So I said to my dear sweetheart, I said, you know what? I'm tired. What's the big deal? Why do we have to waste hours here simply because we want to go visit some country? I said, let's go home. And then she said, no. Didn't they tell us that three of the visas have been approved? I said, yes. And that it's only one that is left? I said, yes. And they said, that one that is left is my visa? I said, yes. He said, if it's my visa, I am not leaving here till I get my visa today. I said, my, oh, my. All right. So what are we going to do? We don't have seats. Are we going to stand here all day? She said, well, there's some broken down stool down there. Let's go there and patch. So we went there and sat down. And sincerely speaking, I was thinking, that's it. No problem. If it was my visa, maybe I would have been able to say something. But it was her visa that was stuck in there, and she insisted she wasn't going anywhere. So it's fine. And it was just some minutes, you know, when one of the officials of the embassy came out and said, Adeyemi, she jumped. She said, that's me. I had to run to catch her. And they opened the gate and told her to come in. You know, and we went in together and got all the passports and the visas out. What am I saying to someone today? It's yours. It's there. You have an idea where it is. Go get it. And when you get there, they may not give it to you the first time. Hang in there. Amen. Help me to tell someone sitting close to you, hang in there. Tell some 2-3 people, hang in there. Hang in there. You are closer to it now than you ever thought. Can you imagine what would have happened if she had listened to me and we left the place? The potential to get it would have been there. It would not have been realized. It does not always work out the first time. Try again and again and again and again. Let me read to you Luke 11 verse 8 from the Amplified Version of the Bible. Luke 11, 8, Amplified Bible. It says, I tell you, although he will not get up and supply him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his shameless persistence and insistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Woo! Friendship didn't work here. But I love this. This is not just persistence, it is shameless persistence. Shameless. Get rid of this shyness. That was what I was demonstrating. Should I confess? Can I be honest with you? I was just feeling, you know what? People know me in this city. What's the point? I don't want people coming here and seeing me, you know, a respectable pastor, a respectable person. I'm on radio, people know me, and then they see me standing here because of something. They will think I'm desperate. Fine. Let them think you are desperate. Go for your destiny. Amen. You know, we're so concerned about what people think, about what people will say. I discovered whether you fulfill your destiny or not, they will say. They will say something. You do well with your life, they will say something. You don't do well with your life, they will say something. Who decides what they will say? You! I have decided, since they will say something anyway, I will give them what to talk about. And sincerely speaking, it will be the fulfillment of my destiny. Amen. That's it. Because of his shameless persistence. Get rid of shame. Get rid of the shame. The real shame is when you don't try. For the person who tries, you cannot afford to be trying and to still be shameful. Shame will keep you from trying. But if you are trying, there is no point being ashamed. You are doing the right thing. I'm here to tell you, you're on the right road. Keep moving in the name of Jesus Christ. Quitting is easy. Why do we have to talk about this? That you should not quit, that you shouldn't give up, because quitting is easy and everybody quits. The only way you're going to live an exceptional life is for you to be the one who doesn't quit. Never, ever give up. Before you realize it, quitting becomes a habit. And if it has become a habit for you, break that cycle. Break that habit today. I saw a statistic many years ago from the insurance industry that changed my life. And listen, I try. I see a principle. I'll test it. Does it work? What did I read? They said 80% of sales are made after the fifth call. 80% of sales are made after the fifth call. I said, oh my God. Oh my God. Most people quit after trying to sell the first time and hearing no. Most people do. And I understand why people quit. Because when someone refuses to buy from you, it's not a good feeling. You live with a feeling of rejection. Sometimes if you're not careful, the rejection of the product is translated to the rejection of your person. The two are different. Oh yeah, the two are different. But we translate the rejection of the product or the service to the rejection of our person. And rejection is never easy. So most people quit after trying the first time. How many people know it's easier for you to go meet a stranger and to make a proposition to the person than for you to go back to the person who told you no yesterday? Yeah? Not to talk of going back to the same person two times or three times or four times or five times. The same person telling you no, 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 no. You know what your psychology would tell you? The respect this person has for you, the honor this person has for you is going down each time you go and they tell you no. In fact, it's easy for you to begin to hear a voice in your head that you are becoming a nuisance. Interestingly, no. It is when you go back to the same person, they say at least five times, that you're likely to make a sale. 80% of sales are made after the fifth call. It transformed our church. We applied it. Don't just do touch and go. You speak to someone or you invite to someone to church only once. It may not work. So we said, go back to the same person at least five times. You read the Bible. There are stories of persistence there. Elijah prayed in 1 Kings 18 that it should rain after 3.5 years when there had been no rain. He prayed the first time, then told his servant to go look at the sky, because that's the only place where rain comes from. So he said, go look at the sky. The guy came back and said, sir, there's nothing. Elijah prayed again. Go back. It was the seventh time that the young man came and said, sir, I see a cloud, even though it's the sound, it's the size of a man's hand. Elijah said, you don't understand what just happened. What it took to push that thing from the realm of the spirit into the physical. Listen to me. As a believer, you got a promise from God. What God promised you is already a spiritual reality. What you are doing by taking action, by speaking and taking action, is to push whatever it is from the realm of the spirit into the physical. Don't quit midway. Keep pushing. It's almost there. When Elijah saw just a small sign, just a small crowd, he ran. He knew from that point onwards there will be divine acceleration. Give your efforts time to compound. Don't quit too soon. Give your efforts time to compound. The stone cutter who hammers at the stone, and it's the 100th time or the 200th time that the rock splits open. I need to let you know, it was not the last blow that split the rock. It was a combination of all the blows. In fact, it was the compounding of the efforts of all the 200 blows that split the rock. If you quit after starting and trying for 1 year, for 2 years, for 3 years, all of the investments that you made have now been wasted. Help me to tell the person sitting next to you, don't quit now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I prophesy on you. In the name of Jesus, every spirit of rejection that has been bad through trying and failing before, I root them out and cast them out in the name of Jesus Christ. I prophesy on you boldness, a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit of God in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. As you step out of here, receive courage. If you tried before and you failed, receive courage to start again. In Jesus' name, I prophesy the resurrection of that vision, the resurrection of that dream. All dead dreams come back alive. Receive fresh fire to pursue that dream. I prophesy on you restoration. If you lost time, that time is restored to you today. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I prophesy massive breakthroughs, big breakthroughs, supernatural promotion, big shifts in each person's life. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for the person present in this service who says, pastor, please pray with me that God should forgive me my sins. My relationship with God is not okay. Can you please put your hand on your heart? It doesn't matter. You may even have said this prayer before. You'll say it again today, because now you're not absolutely certain you will make heaven. If Jesus comes back today, or God forbid you die, appear before God. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. I want my sins forgiven. Can you please put your hand on your heart? I'd like to pray with you. God bless you for your honesty. God bless you. Please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing my prayer in Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for our brothers and sisters. They've prayed. You loved them. You heard their prayer because Jesus paid for their sins. So their sins are forgiven. And Lord, the nature of sin is removed from them. By the Holy Spirit, your nature is put in them now. Teach them, Lord, to know you, to love you, to serve you the rest of their lives. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.